And you know, if you back up, Ephesians 2:1 starts with the word "and," which means it's connected to what came before it. And the context of what Paul's praying here, he's making a statement, but this is also part of his prayer of Ephesians chapter 1, where he said, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And it continues not only in Ephesians 1, but into Ephesians 2. He prayed that God would give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. You know, you can read the Bible and not have any wisdom and revelation in it, not have any understanding or any comprehension. Then he said, the eyes of your understanding. He says what Paul was praying. And if he was praying that by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for them, then it's a prayer for us and for others today, now. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? Christ in us is the hope of his calling. That we would comprehend that Christ is in us and we are in him. In verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. God's power is available towards us, for us, and through us. And then it says, which he displayed in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. He's praying that he would comprehend this and put all things under his feet. And then he goes right on to saying that we would comprehend that we are seated with him in heavenly places. But you see, the hope of our calling is that we would recognize that we're not mere men, that we're in Christ and Christ is in us. In fact, Paul said, you act like mere men. I had a lady one time say, and some men are more mere than others. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone, see the things are Christ of Christ are for anyone. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Anyone, everyone that's in Christ is a new creation. Every Christian is a new creation and is in Christ Jesus, and yet that's almost an unheard of concept or truth. Consequently, we don't act like we're in Christ and we don't act like we're new creations. What do we act like? Mere men, some more mere than others. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That means a brand new being. Old things have passed away. Means old things spiritually. We have to renew our minds and present our bodies to God a living sacrifice. But the real you, the real man, is a brand new creation. And then it goes on to say, now all things, all spiritual things in us are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. But you see, if we don't understand reconciliation, then instead of telling people that we're in Christ and they can be in Christ and that he died for our sins, we first try to convince people about their sin instead of telling them to be reconciled. Because it goes on to say that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That means the door to Christ is open to the whole world, not imputing their trespasses to them, and is committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In the realm of the Spirit, we are in Him, and we are therefore righteous. And yet, even though that great body of truth is in the Bible, we still hear Christians saying, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know, it's a truth that you'll never rise above your confession. Now, how high are you going to rise if your confession is, I'm just a sinner saved by grace? In other words, God tried, but he couldn't do it. God gave it his best shot, but I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, our confession should be, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. See, the Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Sinners don't awake and sin not. Sinners awake to sin. The Bible says their feet run to sin. Our confession should be, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. My sins are gone. My past is gone. I've been born again. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a new man. I'm of God. God is my Father. God lives in me, and I am dead to sin. I am an overcomer in Christ Jesus. I am in Christ Jesus, who has been made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, and he always leads me in triumph. Now see, those are true Bible statements. But the Bible says that if we don't renew our mind to the truth, then we'll act like mere men. Amen? And you know, today, it's absolutely shocking. Hardly a week goes by that you don't read some church trying to their best to be conformed to the world instead of conformed to Christ. Let's have a convention so we can be conformed to the world. Why? Because they have left the Bible and taken the traditions of men and tried their best to be mere men. And they have succeeded. Until we grasp who we are, we can never act like who we are. We're like the ugly duckling. He who knew no sin made him to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. The devil has tried to hide this fact from believers, and he succeeded. He's tried to hide the fact to the world that they can become righteous, and he's tried to hide the fact from the righteous that they are righteous. I'll never forget, I was in about my fifth week of basic training, and I got a letter. I was at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and I got a letter that a friend of mine was also at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, a man by the name of Dean Norland. In the Army, you know, there's just something about somebody from your hometown. It's just, there just is. He wasn't a great friend of mine, but he was a friend of mine. And so one Sunday afternoon, I decided I'll try to, you know, Army posts can be big places. Fort Campbell, Kentucky was a big place. But one Sunday afternoon, I thought, well, I'll try to find Dean. He couldn't leave. He was in his first week of basic training. And you can't, you know, even leave your little area. I kind of had a running battle sometimes with my drill sergeant. And he would always trying to catch me doing things. We had a guy that could imitate him, a guy by the name of Kloon, and he could imitate the drill sergeant. And so one day, one Saturday afternoon, we had finished a 5-mile march, and we were waiting to be dismissed, and we're just drenched in sweat. And for some reason, we're not being dismissed, and we're waiting and waiting and waiting. And I'm leaning up against the building, and I didn't know the drill sergeant was still around. I heard a voice, but I thought it was this guy imitating him, you know. And so he sent somebody out there to get me to say something bad about him. And so I obliged, and he's in the window right above me, listening so that he could, you know, get after me. I talked too much. So this Sunday afternoon, I decide that I'm going to go find Dean Norland. I'm talking about you'll never live up to who you are till you find out who you are. It was quite a ways away. It was a long ways away. I went down there and I found him, and I just got there and somebody from my company shows up. The drill sergeant's looking for me, and they've told him some story that I'm not supposed to be clear down. And so we begin to run back. Now the other guy, he's not looking for the other guy, so he's not running, but he's looking for me. And I'm running and running and running, and I was amazed. All of a sudden I had no idea how good a physical condition they had gotten me into. and I'm running and running, and I'm expecting to have a side ache. You know, I'm expecting to be out of breath. I'm expecting, and I thought, oh, I can't believe this. I'm not even tired. And so I ran that whole way back, and then kind of appeared, and like I'd been there, you know. Like I didn't know he was looking for me. But it's the same way. Until we find out who we are, we'll never live up to that. See, most Christians think that they're just sinners saved by grace. They don't think they're the righteousness of God in Christ. But we can, the Bible says, reckon yourself dead to sin. See, as long as Satan is able to hide this truth, he can hinder the church from fulfilling its mission on the earth. What's our mission? Well, we know, go into all the world and preach the gospel, but it doesn't stop there. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. It says, we shall exercise, talks about treading on scorpions and serpents, which is a type of the devil, which Matthew 28 makes it more clear. But if we don't know that we're righteous and that we have right standing with God and that we're in Christ, we'll cower from the devil instead of knowing that he's cowering from us. We will never, people who don't know their right standing with God, never exercise dominion over the devil. Never. Or sickness. Or any of the works of the enemy. If the devil can hide the fact from us and convince us that we're just sinners saved by grace, why in the world should we try to be more than we are? And they don't want you acting like who you are either, a lot of Christians. But the Bible says we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel and exercise dominion over the devil and to lay hands on the sick and to speak with new tongues. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:11, he talked about turning the scripture around. If we are ignorant of Satan's devices, then he will get an advantage over us. Amen. When you're ignorant of what your enemy's trying to do, then he gets an advantage over you. But if you're not ignorant that he's a liar, that he's a deceiver, and that he doesn't want you to know who you are, then he'll have the advantage.